Thank you for listening to this Bible study from Calvary Chapel Whangarei. We hope you're blessed and encouraged as you listen. Today's message is part 5 in our series entitled The Rapture, Prepare for Liftoff. And the message is entitled Prophecy Update 2015, Part 2.
All right, so we are going to look at Prophecy Update 2015, Part 2. I know some pastors, and they do a Prophecy Update kind of at the beginning of every year, like a New Year's Eve kind of thing. I haven't decided if that's the route we're going to necessarily go, but we'll see. We may not have time. We may not be around come this New Year's Eve. You guys think I'm joking, but really, we're not. All right, last week we looked at the nation of Israel and what God has to say about her. And when I say her, I'm talking about the nation of Israel. What he's done in the past and what he's going to do in the future. What he's doing currently right now. And I got it. Thanks. So last week we looked at Matthew 24. And we talked about this idea, the fig tree, okay? And we looked at what Jesus said about the fig tree in Matthew 24. And the nation of Israel being likened to a fig tree. Okay, so when you see that in the Old Testament, know that that's usually talking about the nation of Israel. Now, we talked about this event. And it's in Matthew 24, verse 15, the abomination of desolation. Okay, the abomination of desolation. Now, that's this big, grandiose, you know, thing. And if you weren't here last week, like I said, go to the website and get it. But it's this whole idea that Daniel prophesied in Daniel chapter 9, and then also in Daniel chapter 12 is talked about. And then Jesus himself talked about it. And there are some who had said when the temple got destroyed, that may have been it. Or some when we talk about Antiochus Epiphanes, this guy in 167 BC, and he slaughtered a pig and desecrated and set up idols inside. Some people said, oh, that was the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy. But Jesus spoke about it after all those things happened as if it was still a future event. So to me, it's still future. It hasn't happened yet because in 70 AD, what event happened that enabled the abomination of desolation to not happen? Jerusalem was destroyed, the temple was destroyed, and there hasn't been one since. So that's key. Now, I'm going to play several video clips for you today. And you need to see this because this is stuff that's happening right now. Okay, this is Benjamin Netanyahu. You guys know who Benjamin Netanyahu is? Okay, the leader of Israel, the prime minister. He spoke just recently at the United Nations General Assembly. Now, it was a 42-minute speech. We're not watching 42 minutes. We're going to watch about 6. And I've spliced and hacked it. And as the clip goes further on, the sound gets a little bit off. So you'll hear the sound, but his lips won't be synced up, okay? I didn't dub it or mess with it, okay? It just somehow got in the process of splicing it messed up. But you need to see this because it's pretty radical. It's pretty radical. And he's going to reference some things, and I'll highlight them when we come back. But hopefully this will play. Hopefully all the clicking that I did last week, it's all taken care of, okay? Turn it up.
As Israel's ambassador to the United Nations.
Can you hear it?
Yep. I stood at this podium for the first time. I spoke that day against a resolution sponsored by Iran ...70 years after the murder of 6 million Jews. Iran's rulers promised to destroy my country, murder my people, and the response from this body, the response from nearly every one of the governments represented here has been absolutely nothing. Utter silence. deafening silence. Perhaps you can now understand why Israel is not joining you in celebrating this deal. If Iran's rulers were working to destroy your country, perhaps you'd be less enthusiastic about the deal. If Iran's terror proxies were firing thousands of rockets at your cities, perhaps you'd be more measured in your praise. And if this deal were unleashing a nuclear arms race in your neighborhood, perhaps you'd be more reluctant to celebrate. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not easy to oppose something that is embraced by the greatest powers in the world. Believe me, it would be far easier to remain silent. But throughout our history, the Jewish people have learned the heavy price of silence. And as the Prime Minister of the Jewish state, as someone who knows that history, I refuse to be silent. For in every generation, there were those who rose up to destroy our people. In antiquity, we faced destruction from the ancient empires of Babylon and Rome. In the Middle Ages, we faced inquisition and expulsion. And in modern times, we faced pogroms and the Holocaust. Yet the Jewish people persevered. And now another regime has arisen, swearing to destroy Israel. That regime would be wise to consider this. I stand here today representing Israel, a country 67 years young, but the nation state of a people nearly 4,000 years old. Yet the empires of Babylon and Rome are not represented in this Hall of Nations. Neither is the 1,000-year Reich. Those seemingly invincible empires are long gone. But Israel lives. The people of Israel live. Am Israel Chai. Oh, the rebirth of Israel is a testament to the indomitable spirit of my people. For 100 generations, the Jewish people dreamed of returning to the land of Israel. Even in our darkest hours, and we had so many, even in our darkest hours, we never gave up hope of rebuilding our eternal capital, Jerusalem. The establishment of Israel made realizing that dream possible. It has enabled us to live as a free people in our ancestral homeland. It's enabled us to embrace Jews who've come from the four corners of the earth to find refuge from persecution. They came from war-torn Europe, from Yemen, Iraq, Morocco, from Ethiopia and the Soviet Union, from 100 other lands. And today, as a rising tide of anti-Semitism once again sweeps across Europe and elsewhere, many Jews come to Israel to join us in building the Jewish future. So here's my message to the rulers of Iran. Your plan to destroy Israel will fail.
Now, some of the things he said in there, he said, you know, the rebirth of Israel is a testament to the indomitable spirit of my people. There might be some truth about it, but I would say even further, it's a testament to the fact that God is faithful and God is true. And when he says something, he means it, and he means what he says. Now, he also said, did you hear him, that Jews are coming from the four corners of the earth. Can I show you? He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Guys, we are seeing this right before our eyes. It is like mind-blowing to me. Now, I told you that there was a temple institute, and they have a lot of these items, some 67 or different items ready to go if the temple were to be built. They've been building these things, and I told you about a golden menorah. Well, just recently, this is it, okay? And it's tall, it's high, solid gold, and they had basically a public practice of lighting the Hanukkah. So this is going to be, you know, pure olive oil in here, and watch. They're ready. I mean, they're ready. And then the video, and I'll just show this last clip. For those of you that weren't here last week, just the last part of this clip about the Temple Institute and their little ad campaign. If you remember this from last week. So all these things, man, are like just waiting. I mean, they are waiting to go. And right now, I would say Israel really is standing alone. Not even America anymore is standing with her. Now, the church would be standing, but like the U.S. government is abandoning Israel and willing to stand with the likes of Iran and others. But it's the first time, I think, really in American history that they are turning away from Israel. Now, Jesus said that there would be other signs. So if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew 24, and I'll point these out. But there's going to be other signs. Okay, they came and asked Jesus questions. Hey, what will be the signs of the end? When will these things take place? What will be the sign of your coming? And so here are some of the signs that are indicators that we are getting closer to what I believe is next on the prophetic calendar, the rapture, which I believe could happen at any moment. Now, the rapture is an event that catches the world by surprise. We've established that. And when the world is saying peace and safety, the world is saying, we're getting stronger. We're getting more organized. We're getting more sophisticated. That's when Jesus said it's going to come. So, what are the signs? Well, we can find those in Matthew 24. You can also find these in Luke 21. Okay, it's known as the Olivet Discourse. Get familiar with that term, the Olivet Discourse. He gave it at the Mount of Olives. So the first sign that we see when you go to Matthew 24, okay, it's deception. It's deception. Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5 says what? And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." Now, we talked about this last week. Many will come in my name, saying, "I am the Christ." Now, to me, if someone were to show up in Whangarei today, and they're wearing some long robe, and they've grown their hair out and their beard out, and they're walking around the town basin saying, "I am Jesus," like, are we going to, like, fall for that? Probably not. And there are religious nuts around the world who think that they're Jesus. Like I told you, there's this guy in Russia, and I didn't have time to find a video, but I've watched a program, and he's got this whole little compound, like out in the middle of the sticks of nowhere, and he shows up, you know, and he appears, and all his followers come, and just kooky stuff. And so I've always looked at this and been like, what? You know, are people really going to be deceived if someone comes on the scene? But what we needed to establish, and we did last week, okay, is that some would come in my name, yes, but some would come saying, "I am the Christ." An increased number of Christ, people claiming to be Christ, but the word Christ, it's not Jesus' last name. It's not Jesus' last name. It means anointed. Okay, it means anointed. And so to me, one of the signs of the end is that there's going to be people coming on the scene in proliferation claiming to be anointed. Guys, this is rampant. It is rampant in the church. It is rampant in this country. You go down to Auckland, it's rampant. It exists in our city. There's people, "Oh, you know, we have an anointing." Like, just so you know, like, I'm never going to show up here on a Sunday and say, "You need to listen to me. I have some special anointing." Just so you know, okay? But there are people who are more than willing to say that. In this day and age, "I have an anointing. He has an anointing. Oh, there's an anointing," blah, 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 okay? And to me, wow, many around today claiming that special anointing. So that's going to be one of the signs, okay? Deception. Another one, okay? Wars and rumors of wars. What does he say? Okay, verses 6 and 7. "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." Now, when you start looking at this a little more depth, nation against nation, the word nation is really the word ethnos. Ethnic tensions. Guys, we're seeing ethnic tensions rise. I mean, I look at America and there's ethnic tensions. You look at like Ukraine and Russia, ethnic tensions all over the Middle East. There's ethnic tensions going on, rising all around. Okay, kingdom against kingdom. And this, you know, can mean royalties, kingdoms, dominions. So there's wars and rumors of wars. Now, I have a whole bunch of articles, so I'm not going to put them up here. And I'm just going to read some of the things. But if you look at Ezekiel 38 and 39, and there's this whole idea of Gog and Magog, there's a verse in there that talks about that I will put a hook in Magog, okay, and it implies that God is going to bring this nation, whatever Magog is, and if you go north, okay, it's where modern day Russia would be. And so that's always kind of been the understanding, that Gog is the ruler of Russia, or that area, and then Magog being that nation. "I will put a hook and bring her down." Well, when you put a hook in something, like a fish, okay, you are reeling that fish in with the hook against his will, right? The fish does not want to be there. And so you have to put that hook in and bring him in. And so there's this in Ezekiel 38, 39, there's this talk. Now, what you need to know, and you've seen this on the news, that Russia is in Syria. Right now, they are fighting, they are bombing, they are moving troops in, and there's some pretty interesting things happening. But I read a news article, Russian media outlet interviews group of soldiers who refused to be deployed to Syria, describing secretive preparations and their fears. "We don't want to die there." The group complained They were due to be shipped off on September 17th, but 10 days later they were told they would be deployed to a hot region with a very different climate than what they were used to, and that there would be poisonous animals at the new place, but the specific region was not named. And then they were told where they were going, and they said, "We don't want to go to Syria. We don't want to die there." So there are literally Russian troops in Syria right now, totally against their will, as if, you know, a hook has been set. Netanyahu had an emergency meeting with Putin just a few weeks ago because of what was going on in Israel. Israel is preparing for a ground invasion of Syria right now because they're prepared to defend their borders. October 5th, Jerusalem's old city shut down. 3,500 police officers participating in massive security operation. Nearly unprecedented security operation to bar Arab non-residents of Jerusalem's old city from entering the ancient walled city for the next 48 hours. Now, this was last week. Israel police spokesman Mickey Rosenfeld confirmed in a radio interview Sunday, "We're dealing at the moment with a wave of terror, I would call it. We're being very careful with ongoing security assessments." And it just goes on from there. Netanyahu told Putin that Russian weapons would threaten Israel. We've learned that Iran supposedly in talks or have already completed a $21 billion purchase of airplanes and intercontinental missiles. Now, the interesting thing that you need to understand, and Netanyahu in his speech, if you go back and watch it, he says Iran already has capability of launching something at Israel. So the fact that they are now purchasing intercontinental ballistic missiles, they're not going to plan on using those for Israel. Those would go further to places like Europe or America or wherever the loose cannons decide, you know, they want to go off. And so one of the things that Netanyahu said is, you know, stand with Israel. Israel's standing for you. I mean, Israel is going to not, they don't want to see these guys. And so Netanyahu, he went to Moscow. 2.5 weeks ago, I came across this. It said, in the Kremlin's biggest, and listen to this, okay, in the Kremlin's biggest military operation in the Middle East since 1941, Russian air and ground forces are now engaged in combat in Syria, and they are now operating just miles from the northern mountains of Israel. Now, we can conjecture, Putin will say he's there to help, you know, rid the place of ISIS. I think it's totally not that, but it's a good excuse to get in there. He wants to have power in the Middle East, and he wants to jack up oil prices because Russian gas has taken a beating and they've lost billions. So it's a whole power play. I'm not saying I understand it completely, but the Hebrew prophet Ezekiel wrote 2,500 years ago that in the last days of history, Russia and Iran would form a military alliance to attack Israel from the north. Bible scholars refer to this eschatological conflict described in Ezekiel 38 and 39 as the war of Gog and Magog. And are these sudden and dramatic moves by Moscow and Tehran simply coincidental, or do they have prophetic implications? I don't know. I'm just asking. I'm just trying to bring it, hey, guys, these are things going on. Now, quote, "This is not only the Kremlin's biggest military expedition outside the old Soviet Union since 1989, but the first Russian campaign in the Middle East since Moscow allied with Britain to invade Iran in 1941. It says Putin is rapidly building two new Russian military bases in Syria, including a forward operating air base. He's ordering Russian ground forces, tanks, heavy equipment into the Syrian theater. He's ordered the Russian Air Force to launch bombing missions, and that's going on right now as we speak. And 2 weeks ago, he signed orders to draft, get this, 150,000 more Russian men into the military. Why? I don't know. I'm just asking. But he's taking advantage of the geopolitical vacuum in the Middle East created by President Obama's full-scale retreat. And so there's a vacuum. And he's going in, not inch by inch. He's going in big. He's going in bold. And guess what? The whole region is watching. The whole world is watching. Now, what you didn't hear Netanyahu say is, we will defend ourselves. He said the time of being passive and letting these things just take Israel down, those days are over. They are prepared to not let Iran get nuclear deals. And so we can keep our eye on that for sure. But there's been satellite imagery suggesting that they're building aircraft runways, helicopter pads. This is Russia. Installing mobile housing units and constructing several new buildings, including an air traffic control tower. What are they doing? I mean, this is just to the north of Israel. They haven't been down there for, I mean, Israel wasn't a nation, all these things. I mean, we're seeing all these things kind of boom, come together. Now, what are some of the other signs that it says in here? Matthew 24, 7 and 8. And there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these, Jesus said, are the beginning of sorrows. Now, that phrase, beginning of sorrows, can actually be translated labor pains. And those of you women who have given birth understand what labor pains are. When it starts to get more intense and more frequent, you know you are getting closer to something being delivered. Right? And sometimes you get to the point where like, yes, just deliver me now from the pain. I can't speak from experience. I'm just saying. Okay? So, beginning of sorrows. Now, some of these things that we're looking at, these things have always been. But I'm going to show you this morning that there is a greater intensity and a way greater frequency to these things going on in the last 25 to 30 years than at any time in history. So something's happening. All right. So, talks about famines, okay? Pestilences. And what do I mean by that? So, okay, let's just... STDs, rampant, I mean, just rampant. Hundreds of millions of people around the world have these. AIDS, trying to, you know, stem the tide of AIDS. Okay, Ebola, okay, there's all this talk about Ebola still even recently, stuff going on. And there's more. There's super viruses and things, okay, that are continuing to grow. Now, earthquakes. Now, when it says earthquake in there, the word is seismos. And think about that, seismic activity. The interesting thing, though, is that the word can be translated commotion, tempest, gale, an earthquake. So you talk about like hurricanes, you talk about tsunamis, you talk about all these natural disasters. And man, have we seen an increase in frequency and intensity, for sure. But this is an increasing natural cause of life events. This stuff has always been, but it is on the rise. Now, Luke, in Luke's gospel, Jesus said this, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon. Okay, and I know there's the whole four blood moons thing that just happened. Okay, I don't think it's like worth really anything. I mean, interesting to think about, but nothing really happened. And Jonathan Kahn and the Shemitah, and he was predicting all these kinds of things happening. None of it's really come to pass. But here's what Jesus said, and I'm going to stand on his word. There will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations. Okay, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things, what? Begin to happen. When these things begin to happen, take a look up, and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. And that word redemption can also mean deliverance. Okay? Interesting. When these things begin. Now, that word, when it says when these things begin, it can literally mean commence in order. Or begin the sequence. It's interesting language, to say the least. He said, look up. Now, Matthew 24, 32-35, this is that parable of the fig tree. Now, learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Now, a lot of people said, well, this generation, what is he talking about? The generation that he was talking to right then? This generation in front of me will not pass away until they see these things? I don't think that's what he's saying. This generation, what generation? The generation that sees the fig tree begin to blossom again will not pass away till all these things take place. So now people have started to speculate, okay, May 14th, 1948. Okay, this generation. How long is a generation? Is it 40 years? Because then that would be 1988. That's what one guy did. 88 reasons why Jesus will come back in 1988. There was a book. Okay. Is the generation 80 years? Is the generation 100? Is it 125? Guess what? I don't know. No one knows. And that's what Jesus said. No one knows the day or the hour. But we're not to be ignorant of the seasons. So we have seen the rebirth of Israel spoken of by Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. And so now we have a starting point, if you will, to begin to monitor all these things that Jesus said would be signs. There had to be a starting point because there was no Israel. You could never even have the abomination of desolation. Why? Because that involves sacrifice. Well, for sacrifice to be involved, you have to have what? A temple. There was no temple. Why? Because there was no nation of Israel. But we've seen all these things, and we know that there's a temple institute waiting to build the temple. I told you last week, how long would it take if they got the A-OK today? He said they would be sacrificing within 3 to 4 months. So that's when we start to monitor. Now, since May 14th, 1948, have we seen false religions be on the rise? Have we seen the church, for the most part, become apostate? For the most part, yeah. And that word apostasy, apostasia means falling away. Ethnic tensions, have they been on the rise? Anti-Semitism, guess what? I don't know how you can come through World War II and see what Hitler did to the Jews and then see Israel go back into the land and ever think that we would have anti-Semitism again on planet Earth. Guys, it is rampant. There are people in Europe who are dismissing that the Holocaust ever happened, that it was a ploy by the UN and the Jews to be able to give them their homeland back, but that it didn't really happen. It's absurd. And if you've ever seen the movie Schindler's List, okay, now that there's some graphic things and just know that, but it's a powerful movie, and you know who filmed Schindler's List? Steven Spielberg, right? You know that? Now, he's a Jew. And what he did when he made the movie is he found as many Holocaust survivors as he could find, and he interviewed and captured their story on film. And you know why? He said, there's going to come a day when all these people are dead. Every single Holocaust survivor, there's none living. And people will come on the scene and say, oh, the Holocaust never happened. He goes, I'm documenting so that I can show people, show the world that, yes, in fact, these people had a story that it was true. Guys, we are living in that day where there are people in Europe right now. I mean, anti-Semitism is growing. Two Jews in France recently were murdered. And so Netanyahu, he's inviting, man, if you're Jewish, come, move back to Israel. He's welcoming them in, fulfilling prophecy. Wars and rumors of wars, have they been on the rise since 1940. I mean, we came through two world wars and we thought, can't we just move into peace? But man, this has just been going. You talk, I mean, Korea and Vietnam and Desert Storm and, I mean, all these different things and what's going on, you know, right now. Scarcity of food, pestilences, natural disasters. Have those been on the rise? I'm going to show you. Yeah. Okay. The U.S. Geological Department. This will absolutely blow your mind. Okay. 1973, their seismographic equipment, they were able to track 4,539 earthquakes. Now, one of the things, before I go into that, from 1890 to 1990, okay, 100-year period, from 1890 to 1990, the number of earthquakes over a 7.0, which they consider a great earthquake, averaged one per decade from 1890 to 1980, one greater than 7.0 per decade. Just lodge that in your mind. And now 1973, 4,539 quakes documented. 1974, there was a little bit of a drop. Okay, 11 less, 4,528. This is where it starts getting interesting. 2000, 19,139 quakes. Here's where it gets crazy. Okay, 2010, 23,000 quakes. 2011, oh, there's another bit of a drop. Where are you going with this, Mike? 22,392. Watch this. 2013, 89,000. Now, you might sit there and go, oh, it's because their equipment's gotten so much better. Between 2011 and 2013, the equipment got that much better to document that big of a difference? I don't think so. Now, watch this. 2014, 114,000. Guys, the earth is like screaming out for deliverance, okay? It's flexing. It's moving. Volcanoes. Okay, they've done volcanic monitoring since 1835. And since 1835, for 100 years, there was an average of 34 volcanic eruptions per year. From January, okay, of this year, in May, when I looked at this information that came forth, in May of this year, there were currently 41 volcanoes currently erupting. Guess where 34 of them are? Along the Ring of Fire. Guess where we live? Along the Ring of Fire. The Ring of Fire goes from, you know, New Zealand. It goes over to Chile, up South America, and then up like California, Seattle, and then Alaska, and then around Russia and Japan. That whole big area on the map, that's called the Ring of Fire. We have super volcanoes. Okay? Super volcanoes. There's one under Yellowstone. So if you plan a vacation to Yellowstone, you may want to reconsider. There's a super volcano under Mammoth Mountain in the States. 20 miles wide, the mouth of this thing. You're talking 32 Ks. From here to Waipu wide. This thing's just sitting there. And if that thing blows, okay, crazy. The magnetic field, this is interesting, the magnetic field around the Earth is currently being destroyed 10 times faster than scientists originally thought. Because we need that. We need that. All this to say, the Earth, we cannot continue down this path for a lot longer with all these different things going on. Now, we do also have to talk about technology. Okay, technology. In the last days, after the rapture, the Bible tells us this guy, Antichrist, is going to come on the scene. He's going to institute a one-world government. We see that in Revelation. He institutes a cashless society. Here's what the verse says, Revelation 13, 16. He, talking about Antichrist, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And his number is, okay, here's wisdom. Let him who is understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Now, how many of you have heard that before? Okay. The number of the beast, 666. And so for years, men have been trying to figure out, what is this mark of the beast? And there are just the most ludicrous kinds of ideas about what this actually is. I don't know, but it's probably not this. Probably. Probably you're not going to get some kind of tattoo on your forehead that says 666. Probably not. It's probably not this, where we get a barcode on our forehead or our hand. It's probably not this. Now, this is interesting because years ago people said, oh, in every barcode you have this sequence, and these two lines are a 6, and these two lines are a 6, and these two lines are a 6, and 666, the number of the beast. And people get all hysterical and, ah, crazy. Okay, it's probably not this. And then you go, why are you showing the Star of David? Because people have said this could be the mark of the beast. Why? Because you have 6 points, you have 6 lines, and you have 6 triangles. 666. But I'm going to refute that right in front of you, because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 triangles, and then, oh, 1, there's 8. But people, that's how crazy people get. Oh, maybe the Star of David, that's the mark of the beast, and you have a flag of Israel in your house, and you got the mark. No, that's not what it is. Okay, it's not what it is. Now, because the problems today, I mean, there's problems today in our world with credit card theft, right? Has anyone ever had their credit card lost and you had to replace it? Okay, there's identity theft, okay? And so law enforcement agencies are really behind going to this kind of cashless society. It could eliminate a lot of drug trafficking. You know, drug trafficking, they show up with the briefcase, at least that's how it is in the movies, with like all those bills, you know, and just but now if you got to like have some kind of card or you know, chip or something. But years ago, and this article came out in 2005, so, I mean, this is 10 years ago, they had what was introduced as fingerprint shopping, payment by fingerprint. It was working. This article was published by the Free Market News Network, 2005. Thriftway, a grocery chain which bills itself as Washington, okay, the state of, Washington's food store is seeing greater acceptance of a payment system developed by Pay by Touch and first deployed at its Seattle location during 2002. Each shopper at their stores is now able to use nothing more than their fingerprint to verify their identity and to pay for their purchase using a credit card previously registered with the store. So here's how it works. People enroll in the Pay by Touch system. They have their fingerprint scanned as a verification of identity at the checkout. Then they choose which credit card they want to pay the bill with, having already registered the cards with the store. Fingerprint payment system was initially scheduled for a 60-day trial, but people were quick to warm up to it, and after 60 days, they made it part of their payment package. The system is proving to be quite popular with Thriftway's patrons, who are increasingly using and even demanding the new payment approach, likely because it is fast and convenient, as well as being a technological novelty. In fact, one customer even drove 400 miles simply to use the new technology. They are gaining more customers who are interested in trying out the system, as well as winning the trust of senior citizens who appreciate the additional security of not having to carry money to the stores. Yet customers are not the only ones to benefit. Thriftway has not experienced a single fraudulent transaction during the 2.5 years that the new payment system has been in use. And as a result, fraudulent purchases overall have declined significantly, because payments using the Pay by Touch system now account for 30%. Okay, that was 2005. What year is it now? 2015. We're 10 years down the road from that. What we have now is this. Turn it up. Well,
I can also select from other cards within one step, and I pay with my Visa Experience.
Got it. So basically, you'll set up a default card like Bank of America or one of the other supported cards. When you come near to a terminal like this, hold your phone near, it'll pop up the default card.
Yes.
And then you just touch the button.
That's correct.
Right. And then I saw you got a notification of the payments.
That's right. So if you tap the notification, it'll show you that purchase history. I've been shopping both in store and online. So for instance, if I were in the Apple store and I wanted to buy a new silicone case for my iPhone 6, I just quickly scan. It shows me the payment details. I can buy through the Apple Pay, touch to authenticate, and I'm on my way.
Got it. And a similar experience would work with any of the partners that are supporting Apple Pay, correct?
That's correct. And they're all implementing it a little bit differently.
I have this on my phone right now. And there's Android version where you can go and these stores have the machine and you just buy it and you pull it out and your thumbprint is there and you use it. Is that the mark of the beast? I don't think so, because it's somehow tied to the beast. It's somehow tied to, you know, worship of Antichrist, that you take that mark. Okay, so I'm not afraid. I use this all the time. I can get into my ANZ account by just putting my thumbprint on there. But I don't feel like, oh, I've taken the mark of the beast and, oh, okay. But the technology is crazy, because like this is stuff that, you know, 100 years ago, no one would have even imagined would be there. Now, they are doing and have experimented with human implants. Applied Digital has created and successfully field-tested a prototype of an implant for humans with GPS or global positioning satellite technology. Once inserted into a human, it can be tracked by GPS technology and the information relayed wirelessly to the internet, where an individual's location, movements, and vital signs can be stored in a database for future reference. We're doing this with animals all the time. We're chipping them. But watch this. This happened, I think, just in August or July.
An office in Sweden is taking wearable technology to the next level by implanting microchips into their staff. Yes, that's right. The newly opened Epicenter office complex in Stockholm is offering workers the chance to be chipped under the skin of their hands. The radio frequency identification chip, which is about the size of a grain of rice, allows users to open doors, swap contact details, and use the photocopier.
It felt pretty scary, but at the same time it felt very modern, very 2015.
The chipping is entirely voluntary, and according to manufacturers, it's completely safe.
So some of the future areas of use, I think, like anything where you today would use a PIN code or a key or a card. So payments is, I think, one area. I think also for healthcare reasons, that you can sort of communicate with your doctor and you can get data on what you eat and sort of what your physical status. You have your own identification code and you're sending that to something else which you have to grant access to. So there's no one else that can sort of follow you on your ID, so to say. It's you who decide who gets access to that ID.
Now, did you catch what he said? He said various uses, and the first thing he said was payments. And then he goes on and talks about doctors and, you know, medical records, but he said payments. That's what it says in Revelation. It says no one would be able to buy or sell without the mark. Now, I'm not saying that this is, you know, but guys, the technology is totally moving in that direction. We are living in that time. This wasn't happening in, you know, when Columbus was sailing around the world. It's the furthest thing from anybody's mind. But we are living in the day and age where we're seeing Israel come back in the land. All these things on the increase. The technology is there to be able to do it. You go to places like Disneyland and they have, you know, technology to make these 3D things look real. Well, Antichrist is going to do something like that and have this image in the temple and, you know, just appear to be alive. I mean, it's just like, it's crazy to me. It is crazy. Now, I say all that to finish. With all these things going on, all these things that we are seeing, how should we live? How should we live? Should we live all afraid? Oh, you know, I shouldn't, you know, buy an iPhone, or I shouldn't do this, or like, you know, just like scared and just in fear? No? Okay, listen. Jesus said, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of man shall be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until that day Noah entered the ark. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be left in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two men or two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Here's what I want you to see. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. I don't know when he's coming. But it tells me to do what? Watch. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you what? Also, be ready. For the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Let me ask you a question. How many of you think or expect that Jesus could come back today? Okay, all those of you who didn't raise your hand, you might be surprised because you're not expecting it. And that's what he says. You do not expect it. See, we're to live not in fear, but in expectation, anticipation. Wow, Lord, is this the day? Now, it doesn't mean we quit our jobs and just like, you know, go sell everything and just go sit on top of, you know, Mount Parahaka and just hang out like, wow, maybe today. And just, you know, like, that's, like, live your life, do what God's called you to do, be faithful in those things. But man, be looking, watching, waiting. Lord, is this the day? It'll change the way you live. It really will. Absolutely change the way that you live. Now, how should we live? 1 Thessalonians 5. Turn there, okay? If someone could turn on the light for me just so I can see. 1 Thessalonians 5, and this is where we bring it back to Thessalonians. This is what Paul said. This is what Paul said. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. And note the contrast between they and you. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Note that. Just as you also are doing. Just as you're doing. That's how we should be doing now. Comforting one another, edifying, that means to build up, to encourage. But whether we wake or sleep, we should live, we're going to live together with him. And so the early church, guys, they lived as if Jesus could come back at any minute. And I asked this question a while back, and I'll ask it again. Will you be taken or are you going to be left behind? Now, if that like freaks you out, then you may need to search your heart. Because if you were to ask me that question, you'd be taken, left behind. Taken, I'm going. Confident. I'm not like, oh, I don't know. Like, you need to know. You need to know. And so that leads to the next question. Where do you stand with Jesus? Because this is what the whole thing hinges on. Where do we stand with Jesus? If you're in Christ, you'll be with him when he comes. If you're not in Christ, man, there's a whole lot of stuff going to come down that you don't want any part of. But guys, the signs are all around us. And I would ask, are you ready? Are you prepared to meet your maker? I know that sounds like a corny thing. You've heard that, oh, are you ready to meet your maker? But it's true. Are we ready to meet our maker? Guys, the king is coming. The kingdom is coming. And so we should be busy for the kingdom. Now, there's certain things to watch for. Now, I'm just saying, these are things that we may see. Obviously, I think the Middle East is going to grow more volatile, for sure. There's going to be financial collapses. There could be one right around the corner for America. Don't be surprised. Keep your eye on Turkey. The new leader of Turkey, He wants to bring hardcore Islam back. Turkey's kind of been very moderate, and he don't be surprised if he gets involved with this Russia-Iran thing and joins in, because I think that's part of it. Keep your eye on Syria, and specifically the city of Damascus. Why? Because there was a prophecy. I want to show you this. Isaiah 17:1, the burden against Damascus. Behold, Damascus will cease from being a city. Like, will cease from being a city. Do you realize Damascus is one of the longest running, continuously inhabited cities on planet Earth, if not the longest? This prophecy has not happened. And if things spill over from Syria into Israel, don't be surprised if Israel retaliates and this prophecy comes true. Now, don't sit here and say, oh, Pastor Mike, you know, is like, I'm just saying, keep your eye out. if it happens, like, you're going to be saying, wow, we're seeing things happen right before our eyes. Because Israel has the capability to completely level Damascus and make it exactly like this, to cease from being a city. So, you know, keep your eye out for those things. Guys, we're living in exciting times. I mean, I have, like, been up late and read and watched and listened and asked my wife, just, you know, trying to wrap my head around all this stuff. But when all is said and done and I get to the end of these 5 weeks, I'm just like, man, it is exciting. And if you don't know Christ, if you're not solidly square walking with him and passionate about him, what are you doing? Like, I don't know how you can see some of this. And I'm not some great speaker on prophecy. Like, yeah, I'm trying to wrap my head around it like a lot of people. There's people far more knowledgeable about it. But this stuff is exciting. Like, we're living in times, we're living in days that have never been seen on planet Earth. Man, that excites me. You know, I want to tell people, hey, guys, you don't have much time left. Look at what's going on in the world. And we have answers. We can show them these things. You go up to the person on the street, you know. Hey, so did you know the Bible talks about, you know, the area of Russia coming down into Israel and being right there? What, really? Yeah, the Bible talks about that stuff. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. But it's encouraging. And when you see, when you begin to see these things happen, what's the admonition? Look up, for your redemption draws near. Man, that's awesome. Let's pray. Great and mighty, the moon and the stars declare who you are.
Thank you for listening to this message from Calvary Chapel, Whangarei. To find more messages to listen to or to find out more information about our church, please visit our website at www.calvaryfongare.co.nz. That's www.calvaryfongare.co.nz.